Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
BaldFacedTruth.com is undergoing a makeover. Right now, if you go to baldfacedtruth.com, you can access my column archive, which is cool. That's fine. You want to read? That's great. You can see the YouTube channel, Mario Cristobal. The current video that's circulating on it has Mario Cristobal after the Oregon-Washington game. And he's making a FaceTime call to his sons. And you get a glimpse behind the scenes as he and his wife are FaceTiming with their kids. And I'm like a creepy observer videotaping them. But I think it's a charming moment, aside from the creepy observer part, because you get a chance to see Mario Cristobal and Jessica Cristobal after a big win, kind of celebrating that moment with their kids. I think that's cool. You can also access, like, if you're traveling, you always go to baldfacedtruth.com and you can get right into the portal that lets you stream the show. So no matter where you are, across the world, you can stream this radio program. You can also go to the Alabama Adriana tab, where we have a photo gallery of Alabama Adriana and a little bit about her life. You can do that. We don't have a Judah Newby tab. Do we need a Judah Newby tab? What does baldfacedtruth.com need? What does it need?
Scott, it needs a lot of things before a Judah Newby tab, I'll tell you that.
What would be on the Judah Newby tab? What would we have on there?
I'm really interested in what you've done before, gathering life advice, you know, from people that have been there, done that. A Tools of Titans of the BFT, as it were. Maybe it was guests we've had on the show, but specifically just life advice, both from, you know, well-established people and maybe just listeners, too.
Why don't you... You mean you want people who want life advice to come to that place, or you want life advice?
Both. It could be mutual edification. The more, the merrier.
All right, so the Judah Newby tab, we'll put that in the suggestion box. I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know that everything that will be suggested here will actually happen. But what should be on baldfacedtruth.com? I want to go to the site right now. Adriana, what should be on baldfacedtruth.com? What should be on there? You're full of ideas today. Okay, but right now when you go there, what pops up is you can subscribe to the newsletter right away.
You get,
okay, so that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you got an Alabama Adriana. Like, are you happy with your tab or should we put something else on there? It's a photo gallery and a chance for people to reach directly to you.
I liked it because I got a lot of really sweet messages. Maybe like a video. I can make like a video.
Okay.
I feel like it needs more pictures of like us at work and like more behind the scenes stuff.
All right, so snap some photos because right now I'm in my studio. I'm nowhere near you guys. Snap some photos and get that. My wife has popped in the studio. What does this website need? Let's kick it around.
More photos of you. Yeah, photos and videos.
Me?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see me. I have a tab here. It's called BFT Picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my trusted picks. Like if you're looking for a car, Gresham Ford, looking heating and cooling, First Call, Milwaukee Lumber, Shoe Mill, Chown Hardware. Yeah. You like Chown Hardware. You like their story.
They're awesome. I love it. Yeah, I love how they're this multi-generational business that started with their great-grandfather. It's crazy. I mean, you know how hard it is. I know how hard it is, actually, to run a family business. And just by the very fact that they've been able to keep that going generation after generation is like a small miracle in itself.
Yeah, they have terrific stuff. We're putting in a door with Bridgetown Window and Door, doors and windows, And it came time to pick the hardware for the door. There was nowhere else to go but Chown. That's where you go.
And they're just good people. I mean, it's like it's awesome to support businesses locally that are so much more about like making the transaction or making a profit. They actually care about their employees and their customers, and you know, their story is awesome. So.
1879.
I know, like that's even. I can't even fathom that.
What was your family doing in 1879?
Race.
I'm on Ancestry.com. Uh-huh. I still don't know what my family was doing in 1879. Chown Hardware. They were laying the foundation for being this company that would be in existence and thriving in 2020.
Yeah.
Like the go-to place when you need hardware, doors, windows.
Like that would be the stuff of maybe a documentary, is to talk to them about, you know, the changes that their family has seen in the business, running a business through this many years. I mean, they were obviously such a part of the blueprint of, you know, Oregon history.
I got to thank Bridgetown Window and Door, because Kevin at Bridgetown Window and Door is the one who, like, pointed me towards Chown. You know, I'd been in their showroom before.
Yeah.
And we'd been in their showroom, and we've seen all their great stuff. But he was like, okay, you're going to go with this great door. Now, here's the Chown website. Take a look at their hardware. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, detail, awesome stuff. So... shout out to them. But when you have a family like that, let's talk about our own family for a second, because I'm big on figuring out, like, they have a success story.
Yeah.
That has, from 1879 to now, that is, the business is woven in there.
Uh-huh.
But really, it's about values. It's about, you know, a mission statement that you can have as a family. I have seen this come up numerous times where family run businesses like Shoe Mill.
Yeah.
Another great example. That, you know, even Gresham Ford with Best Wills, she has her employees. Three or four of those employees have got married at the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that they view that dealership as like that's part of their family.
Right.
Right. Because, right. Like, how many jobs can you think about where you'd be like, I'd love to get married at that fill in the blank? Can you think of one? TV station?
No.
You want to get married at Coin or K2 or?
No.
Nobody would say that.
No.
Media, you don't. Yeah. It's just not that way.
Right.
But these businesses are like family. But think about our own family. All right. If somebody's looking back 150 years from now at some kind of value system or mission statement that we could instill in our own children, what are we doing right now that will have generational effect? Because I argue, almost everything you do has generational effect with your kids and your family.
Yeah, I think honoring tradition, a willingness to forgive. Like, we have a placard up in our house that says, you know, what our rules are. And it seems like basic stuff, but it's saying I love you, saying I'm sorry, giving hugs. You know, that kind of
forgive,
kind of stuff.
Forget,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget all the time, so I'm following the rules. I forget things all the time. No, I wonder too if we should quiz our kids on that. Be like, all right, there are 23 things on that thing that you walk by. How many can you name?
I don't think they notice it, because I don't think they've been old enough, the younger ones at least, to really recognize it. I know we have a chalkboard up in our living room,
yep,
which I've been meaning to change. Like, my intent was to change it month to month, but it says Canzano girls are strong, smart, and kind.
Yeah, so there's this chalkboard that's in the living room that is kind of on a shelf. It's small, but it in chalk you've written Canzano girls are strong, smart, and kind.
Mm-hmm.
I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Does not apply to me. I'm not a Canzano girl, but there are four girls living at this house.
You're welcome to still be strong, smart, and kind.
Me and the dog. The other guy is weak, dumb, and mean.
You can opt in.
He lives here too.
You can opt in. You don't have to play by a different set of roles.
I need my own chalkboard. Big old chalkboard in the living room. I just think it was never said in my family growing up. Like, my grandparents on my dad's side probably did a better job than anybody of instilling sort of familial tradition and values.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember, it's the Italian side. I can remember going to my grandparents' house. There was always a Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We were always around the table. It was storytelling. It was the world came to a stop in for a couple of hours mm-hmm. every week in which you just ate good food and you visited. I don't know if people do that anymore.
I think some people do, and I admire that because that's not writing stuff on a chalkboard. They're living out their mission statement week to week. Like, you can write something down on a chalkboard and then act in total opposition to it, and it ain't going to work. So that's so valuable that you had that connection to that generation, because I think you were enriched by those experiences, whether you knew it or not in the process.
I was, and then simultaneously, like, I love my other set of grandparents. I just wasn't as close to them.
Sure.
Because we didn't see them as often.
Right.
They lived in South Lake Tahoe. It was awesome to see them. I love them. They have both passed away as well. All four of my grandparents have passed away. But I felt very connected to my Italian side of the family because I saw them all the time. I saw them at least once a week. Sometimes we'd go to their house. Sometimes they'd come to our house.
Yeah.
And it was always like this visit that you'd have. Mm-hmm. And I know in families now, youth sports takes on a big chunk of your weekend. I know we're busier than ever. I know more families are working from home. Everybody's doing homework now, myself included. I just think it gets complicated to have that moment where you know, we've tried to do sit-down dinners for family at dinner time.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I think your brother's family is interesting, too, because they are one of those families where they got three kids playing all three different sports, club teams, and, you know, left and right. They're busy as nuts. I asked them one time, like, how does dinner work? How often are you guys eating dinner together with your disparate schedules and locations? And they will push dinner till 9 o'clock at night just so they can eat it together. I remember them telling me that. I thought that was interesting that was a priority to them. Because a lot of families, they'll just eat on the go. It won't matter to them.
I call my brother and he'll be sitting in his car at like a soccer field. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm waiting. And he's like a robot. And I think to myself, like, I guess I got in that mode when the 17-year-old was playing club volleyball. I was kind of bouncing around. I was at a lot of gyms. I think our mobile devices have become obviously a bigger part of our lives. But I also think, like, I think it's one of the challenges that college football and sports in general, live sports in general, is dealing with. I think asking families on a weekend to drive to Eugene or Corvallis and carve out like 5 or 6 hours to go to a game when you have youth sports going on and you have kids that are busy all week long with school and violin lessons and after school programs and whatever your kids are into, I think it's a lot to ask. I think the sports scene is asking too much.
There's a lot of competing interests. And remember when we were little, like when I played Little League, we never had practices or games on a Sunday. Like it was unheard of. You might have one occasionally if there was like an all-star tournament or something like that, but it didn't happen on the regular basis that it occurs now.
I remember having a practice on like a Tuesday and then you'd have a game on like a Thursday night and a game on a Saturday.
That was it during the season. Mm-hmm.
So,
and you weren't playing year-round.
Nowadays you have, all right, there's an 80 game schedule for your kid's little league team, and then they're
is
playing
really
in,
80 games?
No, but then they're playing in two different leagues. Yeah. I just remember, I played college baseball. I played, little league and pony league and all that stuff growing up. I don't think I ever played more than about 24 games in a summer. Hmm. I talk to kids now who are playing in multiple leagues, who are playing like 40-game or 60-game schedules in their summertime. I'm not talking about this summer, but I think it's a lot to ask.
That sounds exhausting.
And then I talk to my orthopedic friends who are either physical therapists or the reflex clinic, frankly, Dr. Riggs and the reflex clinic, and what they see are overuse injuries.
Uh-huh.
And it's no surprise to me that reflex will tell me, hey, we got 12 calls from your listeners this month, with people who have knee issues, or 18 calls or 20 calls, because we all have these same knees. At some point, your body just wears down. I just wonder what the net effect will be a generation from now with kids walking into clinics like Reflex. Are they all going to need PRP and stem cell treatment because of the overuse?
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. That makes me think Reflex is also a family business.
Yes.
Father and son. Like, I'm looking at your, BFT picks. These are These are almost all, in some form, family businesses. They're all businesses that have relatives that are working together. That's interesting.
Shoe mill.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Lumber, family business.
Mm-hmm.
First Call Heating and Cooling might as well be a family business from the people there, the way that they buy in the community. But
yeah.
Best Wills and Gresham Ford. Reflex, Dr. Riggs and the team. You got Par Cabinet Design Center. That's family owned and family run.
Mm-hmm.
You got Bridgetown Window and Door. It's Kevin and his partner. That is a family. That is a business. Chown Hardware. 1879. And how about Rick and the Wall? I didn't even talk about the Wall. Rick, that is a family business. I've seen Rick. This is the thing I like about him. I have called Rick, and I have had friends call Rick and say, hey, do I need a retaining wall or do I need to do this? And Rick will come over and he'll look at it and he'll go, you don't need to do that. I called him one time because I looked at our driveway.
Yeah.
It has cracks in it.
Yes.
And I said, Rick, do you think I need to redo this driveway? Like, a guy who wasn't reputable, who just wanted to do the job, would be like, yes, let's tear it up with a jackhammer and let's do it. He looked at it and he said, nah, there's nothing wrong with your driveway. Just patch the cracks.
Yeah.
And then but that's why I like that.
Yeah,
that's
like
why
the
I do.
Opposite of upselling.
Yeah. If you're somebody who wants, you don't know where to turn, go to the website, baldfacetruth.com, and go to my picks. You can see my trusted picks. And I'll be adding to the trusted picks. There's a couple on there that I haven't added. I need to pop in there. So
it's fun because I guess that's the part of this that I didn't expect is that it would be so fun to support these local businesses and help, steer people their way and give them some love because
I'll tell you one that came up for me recently and it's not even on there and it should be on there. It's Chelsea Audio Video. I have done these interviews over the last month or two with small business owners who own their businesses and are employing a whole bunch of people in the community. I mean, they're vital to our local economy. Chelsea Audio Video, it's Ford Montgomery III who's running it now, okay? This is a family-run business, and it runs very much like a family. You have seen them. Their employees have been in our house. They have installed their Control 4 system. And we've talked with them. They care. They're on call to the point where if I have a question on a weekend at 9 o'clock at night, I just shoot an email and I get an immediate response from the technician going, and I'm like, dude must be home, like putting his own kids to bed. And he's telling me, well, here's what you need to do. But I reached out to Ford Montgomery because I wanted to have him on the show. And I said, I've been having small business owners come on and sort of talk about their experience in the economy and he right now is grinding so hard he hasn't been able to get on the show. Mm. Like he's just trying to do business and trying to keep doing all those great things that they do. And to your point where you said you didn't realize this aspect of it, they're not just advertisers. These are people we have over our house at Christmas time because we believe in them. And, we get offered, like people will say, well, will you endorse my product or you do this? And I turn a lot of that stuff down and in part because I need to believe in it. I need to use it, and I need to believe in it. And Chelsea Audio Video, I have to tell you, he doesn't really right now have the time to come on the show because he's trying to keep his business running and keep his employees employed and keep people safe. And I would advise you to go into his showroom and look around, but I don't know if they want a whole bunch of people piling into their showroom not wearing masks, And I think the better thing to do of all these businesses that I've mentioned, including Chelsea Audio Video, is to go to their website. Just go to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com. See what they can do. This isn't an advertisement. This is literally when we hit the button on the wall at the end of the night, we hit that all off button and all the lights go down. That's Chelsea Audio Video. Our house is better off because of them.
Well, and like with them and like the folks at Milwaukee Lumber, just in talking to their employees, like they've got people who've worked there for multiple decades. Like in an environment where, people switch jobs every couple of years.
Yes.
That's what's so impressive to me. I'm like, what? Wait, how long have you worked here? They're like, 20, 25 years. I'm like, what? Did you start here when you were in high school? Well, as a matter of fact, I did. And so it's that to me is like the biggest telltale sign that this is an awesome entity. Because anyone who would stay with them, like large groups of people who would stay with them for that extended period of time, they're doing something.
And Steve Morse and Brad, his kid, his son works with him. His daughter works with him. And even as you look around, you know, it. When I talked to them when the pandemic hit, I was like, how is it going? They're an essential business. Their mission was not to sell a whole bunch of lumber. And to, their mm-hmm. mission was to keep their employees employed.
Right.
They made a commitment to all their employees. We're not going to lay anybody off.
Wow.
Like, that was before any government program came out, before anybody said, hey, you can apply for forgiveness. It was just a local business that was saying, hey, we're going to keep our people mm-hmm. working. And then I had something really cool happen in the wake of this. As I was bringing on, I brought on Kevin from Bridgetown Window and Door. And, you know, this is his business. Mm-hmm. He's poured decades into this business. And all of a sudden he told me in the wake of that, that his phone was ringing off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
They had an incredible May
mm-hmm.
when all he was doing was saying, look, I'm not sure. I have mixed feelings about being open or being an essential business. And so he told his employees, I don't want you in someone's home if you're not comfortable and they're not comfortable. Let's mm-hmm. just do virtual estimates for people and we'll get everyone in queue. All of a sudden, his phone rang off the hook. And then obviously other people heard it, but Culligan of Oregon heard me interview him.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you're going to hear Culligan of Oregon, the Culligan Water Cooler Report, all of that. Culligan of Oregon heard the way that we were bringing on small business owners and talking about them. And they said, we want to be a part of that. Because they have the same kind of, we're local. We're about people in Oregon. And we understand like how vital it is to get the local community. So to me, it's bigger than a radio show.
Yeah.
It always is.
It's interesting because I wonder if the same thing that makes these businesses successful generation after generation is this kind of stuff that you talk about when it comes to sports organizations. Like, everybody can laud the successes of like Amazon or Apple and how the CEOs operate and whatnot. But I think it's a completely different dynamic to have success in family-run businesses like that throughout time. And it's just got, it has to go back to like a shared mission statement that everybody buys into, right? Like, when you've seen teams
yes.
that win championships, it comes from the top and it's a total buy-in.
Congruency of vision, I call it.
Congruency of vision.
And then also there's an admission with winning sports franchises, or there's an acknowledgement that things are going to go wrong.
Yeah.
I will throw a pandemic into that. Like, nobody could have foreseen this,
uh-huh.
but I watched the businesses that are thriving and being successful right now, whether it's, you know, Park Cabinet Design Center or Chown Hardware or The Wall or Bridgetown Window and Door or even Gresham Ford, where apparently they had a really good month of May. Some of these entities are just, they've been here so long, they've overcome things before. And so they're going, look, it's not going to be a perfect ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. But we're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shoe Mill did the same thing. Shoe Mill's, it was interesting when I brought Shoe Mill onto the show. The very first thing that Josh Huber said was, we're going to be here. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It wasn't, hey, you know, we're really scared. Hey, we're in the fetal position. Our stores have had to be closed. We have, you know, we're concerned. No, it was, we're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing he said. And that stuck with me. Mark in Beaverton's on the phone. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, John. So I just want to applaud you guys. And I think this is why your ratings are shooting through the roof for the last hour, because you guys come on and you talk about family. And, you know, one thing, I mean, I have three girls, and so I can relate to you guys, although yeah. my girls are grown. But I applaud you guys because I think you're talking it through and talking about your family. I think you're helping out three segments of the population. You're helping out dads who have girls and they have no idea how to relate to them. You have parents who have teenagers and they're looking for advice. Then you have parents with teenagers and small kids and they're looking for advice. So, you know, again, I can continue to applaud. And even though I'm working from home, I stop and listen to you guys because A, I need a break because I'm going crazy. And two, I mean, you guys are just fun entertainment. You always have been.
I appreciate that. I think too, I feel that the energy of the show shifts in this hour. And I was talking to Anna about this yesterday. I was saying, like, I kind of play around with, first you were just coming on for a half an hour. Then you started creeping in here a little earlier.
Okay, you make it sound like.
I noticed on Monday you were here at noon. You were sitting here at noon.
Yeah, because
what's the deal?
I was still working on my show, just posting the stuff from my show.
It's a takeover.
Lingering. First of all, Mark, thank you. But, I'm deeply humbled by that because we really have no idea what we're doing. Like, we're not some wise sages. We make mistakes all the time. We're just trying to figure it out as much as anybody else. And it's like a constantly moving target.
I don't know what I'm doing 2 minutes from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right?
I know what I'm doing now. I'm taking a break because we are way past the commercial break. Okay. All right, leave it here. You got the BFT. More ahead. Well, it's been a fun show. We had Jack Andrews on the show, American Betters Coalition. Some shady activities going on with the Oregon Lottery's scoreboard app, where a person who had placed wagers saw the line move for an individual bettor. The Oregon Lottery confirms that, it has the ability to manually approve or not approve of a single bet. The problem being that the line changed for one bettor but remained the same for everyone else. I've asked the lottery, how often do the lines shift in favor of the bettor? They're going to get back to me on that. I don't like this. Jack Andrews, the interview with Jack Andrews, you can get that on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get a podcast. You can listen to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show podcast. Joe Moorhead was with us, the Oregon Ducks offensive coordinator. He texted me after the interview and he said, thank you so much for asking me the questions that were outside the box. He said, most of the interviews I do are cookie cutter. We got to talking about him moving to the state of Oregon from Starkville, Mississippi, his kids leaving behind their youth sports teams. I thought he got a little emotional at one point. Might have just been me, but I thought he got a little emotional talking about his kids' sports teams and how the Little League team said goodbye by coming by their house amid the coronavirus and driving in a circle in front of their house and waving goodbye to their kids. And I think anybody who's had celebrate birthdays with young kids knows what I'm talking about. It just means a lot when you see parents set aside time in their day and come by to do what they can to make your kid feel important on their birthday or as they're leaving town. Joe Moorhead also said he's going to have a chance to do a little bit of sightseeing in the state of Oregon. His wife wants to go to Crater Lake. I got to be honest with you.
Not a short drive.
It's not, is it? I tried to talk him out of it. Like, I texted him. I said, maybe you should go see the Columbia River Gorge instead.
How young are his kids, though? Because if they're a little bit older, they can handle that drive. But if they're real young, ugh.
When you're on I-5, though, the sign makes it sound like it's just right there. Crater Lake, this way.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I got a long drive to Crater Lake.
I mean, it's definitely worth it once you get there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it overrated?
Cool. No, it's not overrated. It's just, it's a bit of a haul.
I've seen some things. I saw the Arch in St. Louis. I saw the Grand Canyon. I've seen, I've been to Greece. I've been to Athens and... You know, you look at the Parthenon, and I've been swam in the Sardonic Sea.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was it really floaty?
Yeah, you float.
Because it's salty, right?
It's salty, and I'm buoyant. I'm buoyant when I'm amid all that salt. And you get out of the water. If you never swam in the Sardonic Sea. All right, first of all, I was with John Branch of the New York Times hanging out at the Olympics.
Okay.
It was the fun, and he is... I have more fun with John Branch than just about anybody else in the media circle.
Yeah, he's awesome.
When we're hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
We just like to do the same things.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't even have to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even make a plan.
Yeah, you're like bromates.
We just go, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we did. We decided that the closing ceremonies to the Athens Olympics were at night in Athens. And by the way, we were amid like post 9/11 world, and it was like military presence. Mm. And we were a little uneasy, by the way, to go to the Olympic Stadium for the closing ceremony because we thought, first of all, does the Greek army have this under control or is there going to be an incident? Like, okay. I would have been okay not going.
Yeah.
Like, because I was just like, something bad could happen here. And these guys are playing hacky sack. They set their rifles down and they play hacky sack, and you'd be like, pick up the rifle. Guy has like an AK-47.
Well, they need some downtime.
Yeah, but they're in berets, fatigues, and they got a hacky sack out, and their guns are all leaned up against the fence. doesn't instill confidence.
Well, I mean, like, the Greek culture in general is pretty laid back, you know? Like, I've been to Greece as well, and they're pretty chill, but I love that about them.
I went to get a haircut, too, uh-huh. during the Olympics, and I went up, and the place was closed.
Wait. A haircut?
Yeah, I wanted to get my head shaved. Oh. I needed somebody to run the razor over it. The hair grows out. It was, you know. So I go to the barber, and I look in the window, and he's closed. But then I look closely, and I could see his feet. He's laying on the couch. He's taking a siesta.
Yeah. See? Healthy way to live, man.
And then I stood outside for about an hour going, how long could this guy sleep? And then all of a sudden, he woke up, straightened himself up. Then he turned his sign around, open. And then he welcomed me in and shaved my head for me.
Gosh, I wish a siesta was part of our daily life.
Got no time for a siesta. But here, John Branch and I.
Okay, yes.
We get on the ferry in Athens, and we go to an island called Hydra. Some people call it Hydra.
Hydra.
They have no motorized vehicles allowed on this island.
Beautiful.
He really wanted to go. I said, I'll go with you. Let's do it. We go there. We hike to the top of the mountain. Well, by the way, you get off the boat. It's not that far to hike because you can't have a motorized vehicle anyway. You can get a burro. You want a burro? You can get a burro to take you up the hill or whatever. But we hike up the hill. There's a church on the top of the hill. We got the great view. Then on the way down, we meet this lady. She's lives on the island, and she says, come have coffee with me. She's an amazing Greek.
That.
She just wants to have, you know, meet an American.
Yeah.
And we talk to her for a while. Then she says, well, you need to swim in the ocean here. It's so buoyant, whatever. So we walk to the edge of the island. We're both in shorts. We take off our shirts and we jump into the ocean.
Yeah.
I could not believe how well you could float.
That's awesome.
You didn't even have to, like, there was no.
Did your skin feel amazing after?
But like crusted with salt.
Right.
Like literally.
But like exfoliated
crusted. Yes.
Then.
I wish I could swim in it every day.
Huh, we could do that.
But I'm going to tell you, when you jump in that ocean and it's got that much salt in it,
yeah,
I'm not exaggerating. You don't really have to tread water.
That's
you
great.
Just float.
You know, there's places in Portland where you can go sort of recreate that feeling indoors. They have these pools where you have like a sensory deprived situation where you go in and you float like that for half. You pay to float like that for half an hour.
Wait, yeah. You're in the dark?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't done it. Friend
it's
of mine
sensory
did it for her birth.
Deprivation?
Yeah, so it's basically like you are, you know, in an enclosed space and all you can really do is float and meditate, and it's supposed to be really restorative.
I'm not paying for anything that has the word deprivation in it.
I'm probably not marketing that very well.
Deprivation?
I like the word buoyant, though. That's one of those words that sounds like what it is.
That's what it should be called. The place should be called buoyant.
Buoyant. Oh, good idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And that way, I like to be buoyant.
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't want to be buoyant? Nobody wants to sink. But you tell me it's a sensory deprivation place. I'm not raising my hand for that. All right.
I don't know if I'm using the right
We got a caller calling in Forest Grove. We got Paul. What's up, man?
Well, I have a question about, first of all, Alabama Adriana.
Yeah.
She made a comment a while ago that there's no good town in Nebraska. And I spent my childhood in Nebraska, and it was a very great childhood. So I'll disagree with her on that.
Hold on. Adriana, did you say that? I don't remember you saying that.
I don't remember ever saying that. It could have been a long time ago, but...
It was a long time ago.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah. So that's okay.
I like Nebraska, Paul.
Okay, well, that's good. Good Cornhusker fan. And I also have Paul Bear Bryant's autograph when he came to Oregon and Portland in 67, 68 for an awards banquet. My father took me, and I got his autograph. And do you and Anna find it easier to go shopping now that you have to wear a mask that people don't recognize you guys?
No, it's stressful. I just told her the other day. I haven't been going a lot, by the way. It's been all on you, Anna. But you did the other day say, do you want to go? And I went because I mostly just wanted to hang out with you. And we got into the store. You got the masks on. It's stressful now. It's not enjoyable. It's like a workout.
Yeah, I know. You did at first. I think the first time you went, you enjoyed the novelty of having a mask on and doing your thing where you mutter under your breath about people.
Nobody knows who I am. Nobody can say anything. Because I get a look. Like, I know my listener. I know my reader. I know the sports fan. They look at me. I know the look.
Yeah, but not more than that. Like, you just kind of like walk through stores sometimes making judgments. and for some reason you thought the mask was like a cloak of invisibility, and I had to remind you that you can still hear what you're saying.
Look at this guy.
It might
look what's in his basket.
Harder to identify who's actually making that verbal judgment about the people around you.
It's not an act, folks. It's not. It's really not. And you know what? I judge myself harder than anybody.
I know.
You know, that's the reality of it. Every day, I wake up, I look in the mirror, and I go, look at this guy. That's ridiculous. Who does he think he is? All right, leave it here. You got the BFT. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports was with us earlier in the program. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. We're going to do that in this segment. That's me signaling Judah Newby.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Couple of big stories I want to talk about. First of all, NASCAR getting rid of the Confederate flag. NASCAR has come out and said no more Confederate flag at its races. This is being greeted by the vast majority of drivers in NASCAR with a big thumbs up, and I think justifiably so. I've never felt like the Confederate flag should have been part of anybody's modern day history. Like, you know, why are you trotting that out? Like, I remember when the World Series took away sort of, you know, the Atlanta Braves had some Confederate stuff up in the stadium back in the 90s, and the Braves really quickly went, oh, yeah, that's we should not have that up. NASCAR putting that away. Also, Twitter has come out. Twitter would like you to actually read stories before you share links to stories.
So how does it know that you're reading them?
Twitter is going to... if you're not somebody who is clicking on the links, I guess, and reading it before you tweet it, Twitter's going to give you a pop-up that says, are you sure you want to tweet this before you read it?
Mm.
I think that's good. I think there's a lot of people who just pass along nonsense that they haven't bothered to read what they're tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me crazy because I will post a column,
mm-hmm.
like I did during the show. I posted a column about the Oregon Lottery's scoreboard app and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post it. I know somebody hasn't had a chance to read it, and immediately people are retweeting it. And I'm like, why? What if it was just nonsense? Which it's not. It's really good, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's, like that bothers me? Or they'll just read the headline, and they'll reply to it. Like, they know what I'm talking about from the headline.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just saw on Facebook for the first time yesterday somebody's post from a couple of months ago that was no longer available because there was, like, a blanket over it, and Facebook had basically said, we have fact-checked this post, this article that you shared, and it's not valid. Like, you're spreading false information. It's an interesting, you know, sociological thing right now.
All right, because in journalism,
yeah.
We used to do the fact-checking ourselves, right?
Right.
We do. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because I think a lot of people are relying upon Facebook, Twitter, and other things on social media, the fact-checking is being left to them. Do you trust it?
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, what are they using in terms of their fact-checking? And there's certainly, you know, a chorus of dissent from people who are saying that they're being censored because their opinions on insert controversial topic aren't allowed or are being censored on Facebook. Like, you have people who don't believe in vaccinations and those kind of things that are literally being censored, like their posts are being censored. So they have to find creative ways around it if they want to use Facebook to spread information about it.
You understand the algorithm on Facebook better than I do.
Sort of, yeah.
You kind of are an expert on it.
No, I don't know about that.
I post things and you go, you know, hey, you have things that you know about Facebook.
Yeah, there's just certain things that you got to either leave out or make sure you include to try and improve your chance of people actually seeing it. Because if you include certain keywords, it's like, you know, click on this, post here, comment, tell me, like those kind of words, the algorithm will actually constrict your post so that fewer people will see it.
So the best advice.
So it's like you're shouting into an empty room.
Yeah. So the best advice on Facebook is to what? Like post just authentically?
As authentically as possible and avoid those kind of like clickbait kind of words that are, you know, because ultimately what is Facebook? It's a business.
Right.
It wants you to buy ads. So it's like if you want to promote something with promotional kind of words, they want you to pay for it and they're going to punish you if you're trying to get around that.
Oh, it's tricky. It's tricky stuff. How about NASCAR doing away with the Confederate flag? Feels like that should have happened a long time ago.
Right, like now? Like, wow, okay. But yeah, about time, I guess.
Almost no one against that. One driver retired over it, and then, but he had zero career wins. I think he was kind of retiring anyway, and he's using it to make a stand, but
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean. That's
not the hill I want to die on.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I just can't believe it took this long. Wow. Okay. 2020 is the year.
Yeah.
Let that go down in history.
Harry Glickman passed away yesterday, age of 96.
What an amazing guy.
Do you think, I say this all the time. You want to live long enough, but not so long that no one remembers you. I felt like that we're dealing with Harry Glickman's passing with a little bit of, he lived into his 90s. He's 96. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got the victory parade today that I would have expected from just the casual person. I think the diehard Blazer fan understands what he did. I don't think like the average regular person is giving Harry Glickman the justice or the sort of the honor that he deserves today. I don't think the Timbers and Thorns happen without Harry Glickman, even though he wasn't involved in bringing them here.
Sure.
I think he paves the way for the Winterhawks, the Blazers. I think he challenged people to dream bigger. He made big plans. He showed that this state could be big league before Nike or anybody else moved here. I think he really was like not Mount Rushmore, but not on Mount Rushmore. I think he is the mountain.
Mm. I like that. I think it probably has to do with, I'm just, you know, spitballing, but there's so much of people who live in our area now that are not from here. Like, I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, how often do you meet an actual Oregonian anymore or somebody who actually grew up in the Portland area? Predominantly people are moving here from the East Coast, the Midwest, California. So they're not going to have that appreciation for the history of Harry Glickman and the impact that he had on our area.
I think there's probably some of that going on. And maybe too, look, he's 96. It didn't surprise people when he passed.
Yeah.
When Kobe passed away, it was a shock.
Sure.
It's like, no, he's invincible. He's too young. Like Kobe's got kids. But Harry Glickman, people go, oh, he's 96. And then the first question a lot of people had was, oh, was it coronavirus? Mm-hmm. I got that question yesterday four or five times. And I did talk with his family, and they said, no, it was not COVID-related at all. He's 96 years old. And, you know, I hope I can make 96. That's an accomplishment.
Hereditarily, you've got that going for you. You have longevity going for you on both sides of your family, I think. So that's good. I think it's... you know, it's interesting how it plays out in our household because we're literally sitting at dinner and you get word that this happens. And I know a lot of news entities for folks that are, you know, in their more advanced years, they prepare either TV reports or they'll prepare an obituary in advance. So they have it ready to go when something like that happens, someone passes, but that's not how you operate. We're literally sitting at dinner last night. You get word that Mr. Glickman has passed away and you just say, hey, I got to step away.
I literally left my plate and my fork right where they lay.
I know. I don't think you actually ate much, but and like it's bizarre because 35 minutes later you have crafted this tribute to Harry Glickman that I don't even understand how that comes out of you that fast, honestly, but you did it.
You
had the deadline that you set for yourself is that we had promised the girls that we would go for ice cream after dinner, so you still wanted to
pressure.
Make good on that.
Holy hell, talk about pressure. All right, leave it here. This has been the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Thanks to Culligan of Oregon for their sponsorship and their belief in this radio program. Leave it right here. Golden. Golden Oak Lending. Go to goldenoaklending.com if you want to get the free mortgage checkup. Golden Oak Lending can help you lower your monthly payment. They can help you take cash out. They can help you shorten the term of your loan. Golden Oak Lending. That portal is secure. You can do it all online at goldenoaklending.com. And here's the thing about Golden Oak Lending. They don't take your credit card. They will not charge you for an appraisal unless they close your loan. That's a big thing. Some of these banks, they want to take your credit card. They want to charge you for the appraisal, and you're not even sure if you want to do the loan. Golden Oak Lending can give you the free mortgage checkup at goldenoaklending.com. Get that process started. It's been a great radio show today. I've had a lot of fun on this show. I don't think we had enough Alabama Adriana on the show. That's the one thing. Anna, I think we need more Adriana.
Yeah, she could just fill the last 2 minutes.
Alabama Adriana, this last minute of the show is all yours.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you going to do with it? Remember that time we had you host?
Did you really?
I brought back one segment and I failed miserably.
Like, welcome back. You get the last 30 seconds. Go.
I hope that you can find some good petitions to sign and some good organizations to donate your money to that support Black people and project their voices very loudly. We're not here for a long time, but a good time.
Grab a podcast.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.